So you can tell that my there's a relic on this source sheet from before that tells you that I the sources got longer than I thought they would. I thought that I would do multiple mini topics from this Mishnah, and therefore I'd put a subtitle. But you see, the subtitle is the same as the regular title because by the time I finished, well, oh no, did I? Oh no, that's not true. I came back. I got two topics on. I originally had three. Okay, but we're actually at a new Mishnah, and I really do think that we will. I'm saying that we'll end the Perek in November. That's my guess. You know, that's like we lose a month in October. But don't keep me to that because, you know. But I'm gonna guess. So you need a source sheet?
No, I haven't.
Okay. So the new Mishnah, anyway, says. Once we're talking about three things, so now we go to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So Shlosh Dvarim, Elazar ben Azariah, Matir v'Chachamim Osrim. There are three things that Elazar ben Azariah permitted, while the Chachamim forbade. Number one is Parasa Yotza Biritzua Shebein Karnah. He allowed his animal, his cow, to go out. And as we'll see, this is the second mini topic I put on the sheet. Is this Shabbos or Yom Tov? Rashi thinks it's Shabbos, but we're going to come back to that, whether it's Shabbos or even Yom Tov. But he allowed his cow to go out with a decorative strap between its horns because he assumed that it was a tachshit, an ornament, and the Chachamim forbade this. On Yom Tov, he would allow combing the animal, as Rashi says, with this thin-toothed metal comb, even though it made a chabura. And again, the Gemara will, at the end, try to figure out exactly what type of comb we're talking about, what iser. And he would allow grinding up pepper with their special grinder. And Rehuda Omer, Ein Mekardes Mehem B'Yom Tov, Meneshos HaChabur. Rehuda forbade this combing of the animal because it would cause a damage. Avo Mekartzefin, but he would allow combing it with this wooden comb. V'Chacham Omer, Ein Mekardin, Aflo Mekartzefin. And then the Chachamim were even more machmer and didn't allow that as even that. So we'll see each of these machlokot in turn. But we're going to focus on... we're going to focus on this first unit, or half of this first unit, but before we even get to it, this is the problem, is we need to get the background of what we're talking about here. So why would it be forbidden to have your animal go out with, as Rashi said, with something which isn't a tachshit? So the machlokas, as Rashi notes, between the Chachamim and Elazar ben Azariah is whether this decorative strap is considered a tachshit, is considered an ornament, and therefore it's not forbidden. Or is it not? It's considered a masui, it's considered something the animal is carrying, and therefore it's forbidden. But that assumes the prohibition of having your animal carry something on Shabbos or Yom Tov, which we'll see in a moment. So what is that iser?
How is it going? Are you not pulling it?
No. No, you're not pulling it. You're just letting it walk, but you put it on.
So it's going by itself.
It's going by itself. That's the assumption, right? That's what it sounds like, right? Because he would let it go out, right? Yotzah. Right? It's the passive, yeah.
Isn't the fear that Shabbat it comes loose and then you'll end up picking it up and Rashid and Rabbim and...
So no, that's not the prohibition. The prohibition is, well, we'll see. This is why we needed background. I sat down with it. I'm like, the Mishnah isn't... This Mishnah doesn't have so much to it. The problem is to even understand what we're talking about, you need background.
Right.
So we got to just get this background out. So the Mishnah, the Perek, there's a Perek devoted to this in Shabbos called Bameh Behema, Bameh Behema Yotza. Now, just to ground us here, Maseches Shabbos is very rigorously organized as a Masechta. People don't realize that because you read the Masechta and it seems completely haphazard, right? The first perek is talks about carrying, right? Arba Yitzhiyah is fine. Mm-hmm. But then after that is Bamei Madlikin, so it talks about candle lighting. Then the third perek is Perek Kira, which talks about the Dirabanan types of cooking, right? Insulation and rewarming and reheating and all types of things like that. And then you have Bameh Isha Bameh Mehema, Then you have halachot of what people are allowed to wear out on Shabbos and what animals can wear out on Shabbos. The seventh perek, you wait till the seventh perek, and then you find out the malachot. And then the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, etc. talk about specific malachot. So you look at the Masechta and it seems chaotic because the malachot aren't discussed until the 7th perek, and yet you're discussing the derabanans of cooking before you discuss cooking, and you're discussing the derabanans of carrying before you discuss carrying. But the Masechta actually is organized just not by malacha. It's organized, this is one of those classic like academic points, but the Rambam already notes it. It's organized chronologically. Right? How do you experience Shabbos? So the first perek is different because Yetzias are always different. But starting the second perek, it just goes from Erev Shabbos to Shabbos. So on Erev Shabbos, the first thing you do is you get your candles ready and you have to make sure that you prepare the candles, know what oils you need to buy and things like that. Then right before Shabbos, you start heating up your food. Not cooking on Shabbos, you start insulating your food that's already cooked and warming it up. And then you have to make sure to clear your pockets and clear your animals of anything they might carry, because once Shabbos comes in, you don't want to be carrying. And then we get to Shabbos. Once we're on Shabbos, we talk about the malachos. So Bamei Behema talks about what your animal can carry. Now, what is the prohibition? So this is a bit problematic because there's two potentially surim, and it starts in a pasuk, right, in the Aseres HaDibros. This is famous already. But V'yom HaShvi Shabbos Adonai L'Echa Lo Sasechom L'Acha Tamincha V'Techa 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 V'Gercha Asher B'Sharecha. You can't do malacha on Shabbos, you, your children, your slaves, or your animals. Now, what is that Isser? So there's two potentially Surim which may or may not be distinct from each other. There's one Isser known as Mechamer. And there's potentially a second Isser known as Shvisas Behema. Now, what are the difference between those? So that's what we're going to see. But to give it away in advance, Mechamer is the more problematic one, which is biblical, or definitely biblical. Mechamer is where you and the animal do a malacha together. Right? So, Alan's case, you lead the animal out with a load. Right, so the animal is carrying, but you're leading the animal. So you're doing a malacha together. That's mechamer, according to most Rishonim. Shvisas behema is where your animal is doing a malacha for you, but without your help. Right, so you're not leading the animal, but your animal is carrying a load for you. Right, it's already trained before Shabbos. You don't have to do anything, but it's carrying a load for you. So those may or may not be two different isurim. And that's what we're going to see now. So if you look, I gave some of the sugyos. The Mishnah tells you in number 2, quoted in the Gemara in Daf Kufn and Gimel, that Misha Hichshich Baderech, if you are walking on a Friday and it becomes dark, so Nosin Kisla Nachri, give your wallet to a non-Jew and he can carry it for you, because otherwise you can't carry it. Though I had a friend once who actually this happened to in the Heights. He got stuck in one of these, I think he was coming from Jersey, so the bus was delayed, and gets off by the bridge right at Shkia. So as he's walking, he finds some non-Jew, and he just turns to him, and, you know, great in the Heights, right? Give him your key and your wallet, whatever. And to his surprise, the guy said, aren't you not allowed to ask you to do that? The answer is you are, bin Ashmasha. Bin Ashmasha, you actually can do that. So you give it to a non-Jew. Of course, it's not Litzarach HaChara. The guy's going to take it, probably, in Heinz. But okay, that's, you know, fine. The number of my friends who have been held up at, you know, gunpoint, machete point, whatever. But still, you're just offering it to him. But if there's no non-Jew there, so you put it on your animal. You put it on an animal. So the Gemara comments in number 3. Yeah, you have last week's. You have last week's. There you go. Sorry. Okay. So in number 3... the Gemara comments, Amar Mar, Eini Monachrei Manicha L'Chamor, V'Lo Mechamer. How can you put your load on the animal, but you are violating Mechamer? V'Rachman Amar Lo Sasekom Malacha. You're not allowed to do any Malacha, and the end of that Pasuk is Uvehemticha. So Amar of Ada, Barahava Manicha Aleha Kishihi Mehaleches. So put it on the animal while it's walking. And while it's already walking, why does that make a difference? So look at Rashi. Rashi tells you, "Hello, mechamer. What is mechamer? Mechamer is manhig chamor to una karui mechamer. If you lead a laden animal, that is the violation of mechamer. Right? He actually has the text of don't do malacha, you or your animal. What's the classic paradigmatic case where you and the animal co-violated Isser? It's where you lead an animal. And then you're violating Hotzah. Now, why do you solve the problem if you put your wallet on the animal while it's already walking? Meaning after its foot is already up in the air. The lav akira, because then you're not doing the akira, you're not involved in the akira. And every act of carrying on Shabbos to be d'oraisa needs two things, an akira and hanacha. It needs to be picked up and put down. But if the animal picked up its legs not carrying it, and then you throw the wallet onto its back, there's no akira. Kedamar perakama, gabi hitino chaver ochlan umashkin, like a case where your friend, you know, puts food and drink on you. They came into Adam Lamachai Bachatas Kiagav. Now, since a human being who would carry without Nakira would be exempt, Kan Mutter, Dachal, Nami, Milacha Ksiv, Halav, Milacha, he said, it's not Milacha. So, this is what we call Mechamer. Were you doing Milacha along with the animal?
The fact that it's his property doesn't matter.
Maybe. Probably. Maybe.
Okay.
But that's what we're going to see. So that's Mechamer. The Gemara then continues that not only... Now, what is Mechamer exactly? Is Nisr Lav? Is Nisr Skila? So, Omer Rami Bar Chama, HaMechamer Ach Behemta, B'Shabbos, B'Shogig Chayev Chatos, B'Meir Chayev Skila. So Rami Bar Chama says that Mechamer isn't just an Isra on Shabbos, it's the 40th Malacha. So if you do it by accident, you bring a carbon. You do it on purpose, you get put to death. It is malacha number 40. My taima. Why does Rami Bar Chama think this? Because I'm a Rava. Damar Karlo. Sasa kol malacha. It says, don't do malacha. Atau vehemdecha. Behemdo dum yudidei. And we compare you and your animal. Mahu b'shogir chayev chatos b'mezir chayev skila. Behemdo nami b'shogir chayev chatos b'mezir chayev skila. Just like your malacha. Meaning, it's a capital crime. It's one of the malachot. You do it on purpose. It carries with it the death penalty. You do it by accident. You have to bring a carbon. So Amar Rava, Shtei Tshuvas B'davar, but Rava rejects it for two reasons. One is Chada Dechsev, Torah Achas Yelochem, Lo Tzed Bishgaga, V'hanefesh Asher Taseh V'yarama. We have another pasuk which says, there's one Torah for you, for one who does it by accident, or someone who does it by purpose, on purpose. End quote of the pasuk. Huksha kol ha-Torah kulu l'avodah zarah. So we compare everything to an act of avodah zarah, which is the context of that pasuk. Ma avodah zarah David masa begufei. A classic crime must have you doing the crime. Hachanami adavid masa begufei. So you can't violate, you can't call it a malacha if you don't do anything. The ode, besides, Tanan Mechal is a Shabbos, Bedavar Shere Chayavin Al Shigaso Chata, Vazono Skila, Michal Dika Midi Dein Chayavin Al Shigaso Chata, Veloz Dono Skila. Besides, the Mishnah says that if you violate Shabbos in such a way, such that you would be Chayav Misa or Achatas, which implies there is some sort of violation of Shabbos for which you are not Chayav Misa, meaning there's some biblical violation on Shabbos which isn't a malacha. So isn't it Mechamer? The Gemara says, lo, Tchumin, Valibu de Rabikiva. Maybe it's Rabikiva's position of Tchumin, the Tchumin of Daraisa, Vavara, Libu de Rabiosi, or lighting a fire according to Rabiosi. But what you see from this Gemara is that there was at least a machlokes about whether this act called Mechamer, where you lead a laden animal, was a malacha. Right? Now, there is a second concept, as I said, kol shvisas behema. The reason I say there might be a second is kol shvisas behema is because the Rambam may have denied that. And because I don't want to get bogged down in this sugya, because it's only background to our sugya, it's an important sugya, so I wanted to get the basics down, I gave you the chinuch summary of it. And the Ramban and the chinuch, but the chinuch is clearer, interpret the Rambam to say that there really is only one such Isser. Mechamer and Shvisas Behemah are the same thing. Milashon HaRambam Zechon HaLevracha Mashma Shu Sover Ki Alav HaZeh Lo Dilo Sasa Kom Lacha Ata V'Gomru V'Hemta Chal Yavol Mechamer V'Hemto G'gon Shechorish Ba'o Klei Machrei Shabi Ado. It sounds like he thinks that this Lav is just Mechamer, where you are, let's say, plowing with your, along with your animal. But mechamer itself is only asei. The Ramban, zechonu levracha, but the Ramban argues, and he says, Yitpozov harbe beferusha zeh, he argues, and this, Ma'amar ki lav zeh shal mechamer, eno el baholech achar behem tav tuunam masui, aval adam lo yase shum mase biyadav, v'lochein lo yavo alav la'olam lo malkos v'lo misa. The Ramban says that you can't compare, you can't say the Shvis Behema and mechamer are all one thing, and therefore it's similar to Choresh, right? You can't mix these up. Right? Again, the Rambam may or may not mean that, but the simple understanding in Rishonim, and according to the Magen Mishnah, this is even what the Rambam means, is Mechamer is uniquely not where I have my animal do something for me, but where I do it with him. But if I have my animal do something for me, but I don't do it with him, so he is carrying a load that I put on before Shabbos. So I didn't do anything on Shabbos. That would be a prohibition of Shvisas Behema, and not a prohibition of Mechamer. Now, what's the difference? So one possible difference is, as we already saw in number 5, there is a Shita in the Gemara that Mechamer, where I actually lead my laden animal, that's not just Nisr Lav, that's Nisr Skila, that's a full Malacha. How can you entertain the possibility that your animal doing something is a Malacha? Your animal is doing it, not you. The answer is, it's only by Mechamer, and not by Shvisas Behema, meaning it's prohibited to have your animal do anything for you, whether or not you're involved. It's prohibited for you to do a malacha with your animal. But if you do the malacha with your animal, meaning you lead your animal with the loads, you're participating, so you could at least entertain the possibility that it's a malacha. If you're not doing anything, it might be usur, but there's no way it's a malacha. It's not a ma'aseh shebegufo. So therefore, it can. So that's Shvisas Behema. That's one possible difference between cases where you're involved and when you're not. I gave you just a few nafkaminas the Rishonim suggest between them, possible nafkaminas. The Ramban in number 7 says, "Bidin delikshi dekaver mishum Shvisas Behemto." Why in our Gemara and Shabbos does it always say that you're violating Mechamer? Why doesn't it say that you violated Shvisas Behema? What's the difference? So this comes to Alan's point. Possibility one is maybe it's an animal that you don't own, and the Ramban suggests maybe you only violate Shvisas Behema with an animal that's yours, but you violate Mechamer whether the animal is yours or not. Now what's the logic for that? The Isser of Shvisas Behema is that you can't benefit from your animal's work on Shabbos. I mean, your animal has to work. Now that means that the animal has to be yours. Mechamer isn't usur because your animal is doing malacha. It's usur because you're using your animal to do malacha. But that doesn't matter whether it's your animal or not. The point is you're using an animal to do a malacha. It's a right, it's a ki'ilu shtaim sha'asu. It's where two people are doing it, or two living beings are doing the malacha, which isn't a malacha, but it might be us or me, the Araisis. The Ramban suggests, maybe, mechamer, where I participate in the malacha, it's us or whether or not I own the animal, because it's us or because I'm sort of doing a malacha myself. If it's not my animal, then I can violate mechamer, but I can't violate Shvisas Behema, because Shvisas Behema is an isser to allow my animal to work. If it's not my animal, it can't be usur. So that's possible nafkamina number 2, right? Now, number 1 is it possible for it to be counted as a full malacha? That seems to only be the mechamer and not by a regular case of Shvisas Behema. Possibility 2 is, can you violate this prohibition with an animal which isn't yours? Now, he notes that l'maskana, he rejects it, miyu ha-maskana, kevin d'loka, avda, akira, anacha, leka nami, mishun, shiz behema, debegufu, nami, pata, right? This is not necessarily true, because in the end, you can't prove anything, because Gemara rejects the whole thing, because there was no akira, no anacha, so there was no iser at all. So he's not sure that this is true, but at least he's willing to entertain, and possibly even l'maskana, the possibility that mechamer would be violated, even if the animal isn't yours, but Shvisas Behema would be violated whether it's yours or not. The Ramban is Talmidim, in number 8. It's recorded in the Chidush HaRamban, but it's actually, there's a note there that says, Chidush HaTalmid HaRamban has another possibility. He says, V'alo mechamer achanami, havei lelek shuyi, v'alo shvisasan alecha minat Torah, el do'adifa le'mishim de'avei Dachi leilameimer b'chamor shel goy. Possibility two is that why didn't we ask shvisa behema? So maybe you would violate shvisa behema for someone else's animal, because maybe you could say that when the Torah says don't allow your animal to do malacha, it means don't allow any Jewish owned animal to do malacha. So maybe the Ramban's chiddush is not true. But what if it's a goy's animal? So then the Talmidei Ramban say a goy's animal for sure. It can't be aser midin shvisas behema because it's the goy's animal. The goy isn't obligated to have his animals rest. So if it's a goy's animal, you're allowed to have it do work for you. Daraisa, at least. What you can't do is lead the laden animal, because then it's mechamer, and mechamer isn't result oriented, it's action oriented. And if you are leading the animal, it doesn't matter if it's the goy's or not. So possibility one is that it depends on whether it's your animal, or a slightly milder version of that is it depends on whether it belongs to a Jew or not. All the three distinctions we've seen so far go back to the same point, that mechamer is in Isser when I do a malacha via or in conjunction with an animal, and therefore it's a malacha-esque problem. And shvisas behema is where I'm prohibited from having an animal do work for me. It's not a malacha, it's an independent, result-oriented problem. You look at the Hagos Rashri. In number 9, however, he knows Rabbeinu Ephraim, Rabbi Yitzchak, Kasav, Shem Sachar, Yisrael, Bayit, Me'ovid, Kochavim, Asol, Yisrael, Anecho, Vekovim, Betocho, Vechen, Sachar, Behema, Vechomar, Acharev, Veshavas, Chayiv, Chatos, Deschiros, Kanya, Ktas, Ve'en, Nira. So the Hagos Rashri thinks that you don't violate if you hire a non-Jew's animal. But Rabbeinu Ephraim quotes Rabbeinu Yitzchak, which I think in this case is the Oros HaRuah. Pretty sure that's the Oros HaRuah. Rabbeinu Yitzchak of Vienna. It's probably, I think it's Rabbeinu Ephraim of Bonn quoting the Oros HaRuah. Yeah, so I believe, if I remember, that that's who this is quoting. I purposely didn't give you the full version of the Rishonim because they're long. Hagos HaShri always gives you the bite size, so I didn't give you. But so the Hagos HaShri quotes the Oros HaRuah rejected this distinction. The Hagos HaShri himself is mekil, like the Ramban, the Talmidei Ramban, that you're allowed to, a goy's animal is allowed to do work for you. But he notes that lechatchila mikom wakom hol v'nafik mipum digon tov lizar, that lechatchila, oh no, it's me'or zaruah, right, says the end, me'or zaruah, right, that lechatchila you should be machmir. Okay, fine, but
where does he get the leap of to go between a goy can't do work for you, but the goy's behema can do work for you?
No, he says, I guess it's two steps removed, right? And midaraisa, God can do work for you also, right? It's only midarabanan he can't. Right? We don't forbid. We don't paskin that way, right? The smag believes that we do paskin like the day in the Mechilta that says that Amir Lanachra is daraisa, but the majority position in the Bavli and the Poskim is that we don't paskin. That it's daraisa a problem if a goy do malacha for you. So, right, now it's strange to say that the goy is animal. Now, it could be because you were socher it, right? You rented it, and maybe that's the problem. It becomes yours, and maybe their machlokas is about schiros, right? Whether renting becomes like partial ownership or not. So, the Oros HaRuah may or may not argue on this, but again, that's distinction number 3 between mechamer and shvisas behema. Number four, distinction number four, right? Is it malacha or not? Yours or not? Goy or not? Is in the Ramban in number 10. It says, Oh, Efter Shenemar, Shemne Mechamer Isr Lav, Kivin Lemer Lakamon, Midichzir Losasko Malacha, Ato Vehemtecha, Uvehema Levada, Ein Shvisasan Alecha Labase, Midichzir Lamanya Nuach, Shorcha Vechamorcha. So maybe the difference is whether you violate an assay or a los assay, right? If you're doing it yourself, and he's been daikin in the pasuk, right? If you're doing it yourself, it's los assay kol malacha, because what is it saying? Don't do malacha via your animal. It's not even the halacha. It's that we pasken. It's not an iser skila. It's a lav, meaning don't do malacha via your animal, but. If it's your, you're not doing the malacha, it's just a question of having your animal not work for you. It's usur, but it's only the assay of leman yanuach, right? And he's very careful in the psukim, because, right, to push it just like a little bit farther, right? He said the pasuk of Laman Yanuach focuses on the result of the animal. The animal should rest. So if it's just a question of the animal resting, you're not involved. It's just, is my animal resting? So the only pasuk that's relevant is Laman Yanuach. Is your animal, right, chilling out on Shabbos? If it's a question of losase melacha ata uvehemtecha, right, don't do a melacha, you, the way it's presumably read, with your animal, so that's a lav. So that's possibility number four. Possibility five is the Minchas Chinuch suggests that, in general, there's this principle in Shas that Hotzah Malacha Gruahi. Right, Hotzah Malacha Gruahi. That carrying is a lesser Isser. Because nothing happens to the object that you're doing, right? Most of the malacha, you're changing the object, and here you're not. Okay? So Minchas Chinuch suggests that maybe the Pnei Yeshua had said, Ein b'pnei Yeshua al atosu sham shekozer al demuzer al shviz v'ema dafkum lachos gmuros k'mon charisha u'tchine v'chadome. That having your animal rest is only in the context of real malacha. But if you have your animal carry for you, it's not us, sir.
So he's saying they're both together?
No, so the rest of it was it was too long. So he says maybe what Pnei Yeshua is saying is only by Shvi'is Behema. But if you actually carry it, it's explicit in the Gemara that you violate. That's called Mechamer, where I have my animal carry. So maybe Nafkamina number, what am I up to, five? Right, Nafkamina number five is maybe what about a malacha grua? Well, again, this makes sense. If Shvi'is Behema is about the animal relaxing, carrying a ribbon on its head, ishkefer lach, right? Big deal. It's still resting, but if it's a question of you doing a malacha, well, if you put the ribbon on and now you're leading the animal, it's not about resting. It's about you participating in malacha and you are participating in malacha. So that's so for five potential nafkaminas, all along the same line, that mechamer is a prohibition for you to do malacha via the animal. Therefore, nafkamina one, according to Rami Brachama, it's a malacha de'oraisa, which you're chayav misa for. Number two, even if it's not an isra de'oraisa, maybe it's lav versus asay. Right? The lav is don't participate in doing a malacha with an animal, the asay is let your animal rest. Nafkamina three is what happened if the animal isn't yours? Well, if it's not yours, so you don't have to make it rest, but you're not allowed to do malacha using it, Nafkamina 4 is maybe you can't have your animal, maybe you can't have a Jewish animal work for you at all, but what if it's a non-Jewish animal? So maybe a non-Jewish animal would be permitted. And number 5 is what if the malacha the animal's doing is itself a malacha grua, not such great malacha, so maybe Shvi'is Behema, it wouldn't be a problem, but For a full-fledged act, it would be a problem. Now, why do I bring all of this up? Because I could have just skipped it, right? It doesn't come up too much in our Mishnah. The answer is it's not true, because our Mishnah becomes the very strange source for a machlokas achronim, as follows. And this is why I needed this background. I didn't want to get this far, but there's no way of doing it without this. And whatever, now you know the basics of the Mechamer of Shvi'is Behemtko. Our Mishnah says that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, they yelled at him because he allowed his animal to go out on Shabbos with a Ritzua. The Gemara, now let's read the Gemara, reinterprets that. And the Gemara says, L'meimra, the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah chada para havyala. His animal? What do you mean? His one animal? Do you know how rich the guy was? Va'amar Rav, Amri La'amar Rav, Yehuda Amar Rav, Kleser Alfe Egle having Meiser, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Medre Kol Shasa V'Shasa. Just the Meiser he gave every year was 13,000 animals. Just the Meiser per year. He had 130,000 animals born per year, right? What, his one animal? Like, he had the one, you know, decorative animal with a ribbon? Like, what are you... His animal. What are you talking about? What animal is this? So, the Gemara says, you're right.
He had at least another 13,000... other animals.
Yet another 130,000 per year, right? 129,999 per year, right? Just because those are just the newborns, right? Like how yet millions of animals. What para so? So Tana, so the Gemara says, Lo shelo haisa. You're right, it wasn't his animal. Ella shel shchento haisa. It was his neighbors. But now the grammar is important. His female neighbors. Umitoch shelo micha ba nikreis al shmo. But because he didn't protest her violation of Shabbos, it's as if it was his fault. Now, this is a general idea that we find, which I decided we're not going to get into. It's a fascinating sugya, but it only comes up parenthetically here, which is that you have a chiyuv to give tochacha. If you don't give, right? If you don't give rebuke, and you could have, so then it's as if you violated the iser. Fascinating sugya, not for now, unless you really want to. Or I can send you a link. I've given Sharon that before, so I can just pull up the source sheet. I don't care. So that's what the Gemara says, and that's why it's one animal, because his poor neighbor had, in fact, only one animal, and she used to let her animal go out with a nice little pretty ribbon that she tied on the horns. That's the animal. So the Achronim come up with the following problem, and this is such an Achronic issue, but you needed the background. This is the question the Achronim deal with.
Oh, okay.
Exactly, right? Are women obligated in Shvisa's Behema? Why? Because we have a Gzeiras HaKasuv that women are chayavot in malachot. Right. We know that they're chayav in malachot, even though it's a mitzvah seishas man grama, because it's a lo saseh, right? Shvisas behema, as we already saw, according to the Ramban, is an aseh. Mechamer is a lo saseh, but Shvisas behema is an aseh according to the Ramban. Now, there's another asay on Shabbos, which they are chayavot in, which is Kiddush. Because we have a special hekesh of Zachor v'shamor, kol sheyeshno b'shamor, yeshno b'zachor. Anyone chayav in the malacha is chayav in Kiddush. So here's the kasha of the Achronim. What about Shvisa's behema, which isn't mechamer? Because if you paskin like the Ramban, mechamer, if you actually lead out the laden animal, it's a lav. So women are chayavot in all lavin, right? All negative prohibitions, the Mishnah says in Kiddushin, women are obligated in. But what about Shvisa's behema? Shvisa's behema, according to the Ramban, is a positive, time-bound mitzvah, which the Gemara had said that if it weren't for the hekesh of Zachor v'shamor, so then women would have been exempt from Kiddush. But now Shvisa's behema doesn't have a hekesh. So shouldn't women be exempt from Shvisa's behema, which isn't mechamer? That's where the Acharnim come to. And what's the problem with saying that? Because some of the Acharnim argue this. The problem is, our Mishnah and Gemara says that it's usher for the woman to allow her animal to go out with the ribbon between its horns, which tells you that a woman was violating Shvisa's behema. Right? So that all that background was necessary to figure out, because as much as this is a side point, this is the sugya in Shas at which everyone discusses this question. Are women obligated in Shvisa's behema, which isn't mechamer, right? Cases where you're allowing your animal to do malacha without participating in the act yourself. Yeah.
The note here says that because Rav Elazar didn't chastise the woman, it meant he must have said felt it was okay to do it.
Right.
But it's possible then that the reason he didn't say anything.
Right. So that's
because it was a mitzvah. Right.
Right. So that's like right. There are some Achronim who love doing this, who like reading into the Gemara that, oh, the Gemara criticized Elazar ben Azariah. But maybe the reason Elazar ben Azariah liked it was because he paskin that women were pater, and the Chachamim argued, and that was the Machlokas. You're right, you could say that, right? That exactly was the Machlokas, Chachamim and Elazar ben Azariah, which is, are women liable for Shvisa's behema? But Lalacha, we don't paskin that way then. Right? If that's true, what would come out is that we paskin the other way, like the Chachamim against Elazar ben Azariah. But the Achronim pick up on it here. So you look at Rikki Vegar, number 12, he says, Ani mistapik, im nashim mitzuvan al shvisa behemton, heicha deleka mishum mechamer, kevin davi rakasei. Right, if you assume like the Ramban, are women liable for shvisa behema, which isn't mechamer, meaning allowing their animals to do malacha without participating? Because on the one hand, Yesh Lomer Devi Mitzvah says Yesh Man Grama Dinashim Peturas After Chayavos Bekidush Hayom Meakeisha the Zachar Veshamor. On the one hand, you might say it's positive time bound and it doesn't have the hekesh of Zachar Veshamor. So Yesh Lomer Didafka Bekidush Dainu has Zechira. Al Veshar Mitzvah says Yesh Lomer Dipturos. So maybe it's only Kiddush for which they're law, which they're obligated in, but not resting their animals. On the other hand, the Ramban says that women are chayev. Right, Zachor v'Shamor teaches you that women are chayev in all mitzvos of Shabbos. V'ayin v'beis Yosef or chayim reitzad yalef v'tzaruch iyun. And then if you just look in the footnote here, right, he says the prima gadam at the same safek, but v'lihani. Right, this is the whoever is the footnote or honor, Rabbi Eger says, Liani, Sarach Ian, Lashon Gemara, Gavi Paraso, Shirlasa Ben Azariah, Shash Chainazo, Mikra, Lashon Chainazo, Lashon Bamuchach, Bedin, Lashon Mitzvah, Lashon Behemtan, Umuchas Varazarana. Now, what are you talking about? Our Gemara tells you that this woman wasn't allowed to do what she was doing. Right? So, one possibility, again, is to say what Alan's saying. Maybe that is the machlokes between Rabbi Lashon Ben Azariah and the Chachamim. Now, halacha, that would still mean that women are Muzharos, but maybe that's the machlokes of Lashon and the Chachamim. Meaning, is Shvisas Behema just an asay, and therefore they're exempt, or do we say that because of Zachor v'Shamor, women are liable, or obligated rather, in all positive mitzvos of Shabbos?
Why is there an equation between asays and loisaseis when it comes to women? Can't you make a distinction?
Say again? I mean, women are liable, or women are chayev in all los asays, right? And all non-time bound mitzvahs asay. On Shabbos, they're obligated in Kiddush, because even though it's a mitzvah asay, she's my grandma, there's a hekish of Zachor v'Shamor, and therefore we say, if you're chayev in the malacha, right. Rabbi Chiya Eger's question is, what if you have a mitzvah asay on Shabbos, which isn't Zachor?
Which means they're not mechuyev in it.
So, well, that's the question. So,
even if they are not mechuyev in it, they could still have the lo sase, right? I mean,
no. Well, he said there is no lo sase because according to the Ramban, there is no lo sase
when there's no ase.
Right. Because according to the Ramban, if you allow your animal to work without actually leading it, you only violate an ase of laman yanuach and not a lo sase. There's no lav to do it. Mm-hmm. Right. That's right. Rabbi Kivager's whole point is built on this one position of the Ramban, namely that if it's mechamer, right, if you're involved, then you violate a law. If you're not involved, you only violate an asay. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger suggests that women, it isn't asur for women to allow animals to work for them as long as they don't participate, because it's only the law of Laman, it's only the asay rather, of Laman Yanuach, and not Lo Sasa Malacha.
And the Rambam who learns that both are the same. And
so according to the Rambam, there'd be no difference, right? If you read the Rambam the way the Chinuch does, then Mechamer and Shvisa Behem are equivalent to each other, and therefore.
So, again, it's much worse when a Chachamim.
Correct, right? It's even worse for it.
Worse.
Right, because then you have no. Right, there's no possibility of defending it with. Right, because Mechamer clearly they are obligated because it's a lav. Right, if you hold like the Rambam as understood by the Chinuch, that there is no distinction, that Mechamer and Shvisa Behem are the exact same thing, and they're both lavim, so then.
Yeah.
Then obviously this question doesn't get off the ground. This is all right. This is why I had to set it all up. Is assuming the distinction that Rov Rishonim do assume. Is this possible? Minchas Chinuch also holds like Rabbi Kaviger Sakfek, and he says in 13, Lechora, Kevin Shvisa Behema Va'avdo Lo Mechamer Ve'Rak Asay Imkein Avalim Asay Shez Magrama Imkein Hashem Pturos Umutaros Lios Behemta Osa Malacha Afim Nomar Da Asay the Shabbos V'Yomtun Hashem Mitzuvos Hainim Mishum De Ikalosa Say Gamkein etc. etc. So he says, right, he thinks as well that women are going to be pturos. But then, in the bolded part, of the next page, he says, that's what I thought. But what's the problem? Or Gemara. Shuv, shehu b'gemar mefureshet. V'shabas nun dalet u'beitza chav gimel paraso shelazim benazariah yotzi b'ritzuha, etc., etc. And it's a woman. And then he quotes in the New Rishalmi, it's also a woman. And therefore he says, in the end of the bolded part, after quoting our Gemara, Vitzarach Tam Lama Bemis, Yunashim Chayavas, Mitzvah says Ezu. We said, okay, so I give up. The Gemara says it's true, right? But I don't know why, right? I don't know why this is true. So then he says something weird, very weird, but I'll tell you what he says. he has a possible defense, but it's bizarre. And it goes like this. I'll say it outside. The Gemara in Kiddushin has a pasuk that tells you that women are exempt from giving their son a bris milah. So the Rishonim ask, why do you need a pasuk to tell me that women don't have to give their sons a bris milah? It's a mitzvah zeshes man grama. So the Ritva says, well, maybe women are only exempt from mitzvah zeshes man grama that are for them, right? But the mitzvah of giving your son a milah is unique. It's a mitzvah to ensure that somebody else performs a mitzvah. Right? Really, it's the baby's mitzvah. It's just that the baby isn't obligated until he gets older, and therefore the Torah makes the obligation devolve upon the parent. So the Ritva says maybe there is the exception of mitzvah zaseshas mangrama only applies for you to do a positive time-bound commandment, but not to ensure that somebody else does a time-bound positive commandment. So the Minchas Chinuch says, maybe having your animal not work is equivalent to Mila. That's his suggestion. And he says, Tzarach Iyun. All the other Achronim say that's insane. They just say it's crazy. Because like all the later Achronim say, what are you talking about? There's no comparison. Meaning, by Mila, yeah, it's plausible to say that the child is really chayiv in bris milah, it's just not old enough, and therefore the parent has to do it for him. The animal is not chayiv in the mitzvah. When we say that your animal has to rest, it's not that the animal has to keep malacha, but the animal doesn't know what it's doing, and therefore you have to ensure the animal doesn't violate its isser. It's you have to make sure that your animal isn't working. It's a human-oriented isser. That doesn't make any sense. What? Except for Pinchas Ben Yair's animal. Yeah, exactly. But all the later Achronim say, what is going on in Mitzvah Chinuch? These are not comparable at all. Fine. Right, the Tiferes Yisrael notes this, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and says, maybe he thinks it's Derabbanan, but that's just Dochak. I don't get it. If you look at the Daf Al Daf, he quotes from Rai Felder, senior, right, obviously, and you saw the Yeshurun. This is just a quote as far as I can tell, but you saw the Yeshurun isn't on Bar Ilan, and Daf Al Daf is. Rai Felder says, Miu Kana. What?
I could bring it over.
I have it. In Rechaim, there are hard copies, but still, it's easier when I'm putting it on a source sheet to have it typed up. So I can't promise you it's verbatim, I didn't check, but and it might be that he starts by quoting, and then he summarizes. But either way, Rai Felder deals with this issue, and he says, "Miu kana'ain shapir nira diev shalomer kacha sherei dumya deparas ish naka tamud didan da'asrim kinyir misham dumin deraisas yira dilei v'lamud rabban." First of all, don't tell me it's rabban. It's clearly deraisas. Comparing it to the man's sister, because it's going back and forth from saying that it was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's animal to the woman's animal. V'chein heir zevishut koch of Yaakov. Because of Odin, he continues. So one teretz is that the Rushalmi thinks that it wasn't his neighbor, it was his wife, right? It was, he let his wife allow the fancy ribboned animal to go out, right? His wife liked their poodle to go out on Shabbos in the with a ribbon on her head. So it was, in a Hanami, it was a woman. But it was, the problem is his wife, and therefore it was his animal. The reason it was usher is it's his animal. Now that doesn't work in the Bavli, but okay, in the Rishalmi it works. So he says, Imkain Sachlomer, the Hypara Hai Saparashal Nechse Malug, and if that's the case, it's part of the right, ksuba obligations, even if it's her animal, there's still Hayla Raza ben Azariah by Kinyan Peros, the Hadlo Micha Bamishim Desvirle, the Kinyan Peros, so then he gets really lumdish. So why did Raza ben Azariah allow his wife to let the animal go out? Because it was her animal that she brought in. So even though he has Kinyan Peros, meaning a husband during the life of the marriage is allowed to use his wife's property, it's called the Kinyan Peros. He doesn't own the property, his wife owns the property, he's just allowed to use it. He thought that the fact that he could use it doesn't mean he owns it, and therefore it was her animal, and he paskin like Rabbi Akiva Eiger that women are allowed to, aren't mechuyavos and shvizes behemah, and therefore he let his wife let the animal walk. The Chachamim felt it's not true. The Chachamim felt that Kinyan HaPeres k'Kinyan HaGuftami, meaning the fact that he was allowed to use his wife's animal, means that it's partially his. If it's partially his, you're not allowed to use Malacha. So that's how he defends Rabbi Akiva Eiger. In the Yerushalmi, that doesn't work in the Bavli, but he's like, okay, maybe for the Yerushalmi it works, and possibility too. He says, "Ubedavar Talmuda didan esher leYashiv lomer chaygav daYishta hava labal." Maybe the woman was married, right? It was just that, and the reason that it was usher was because the animal belonged to the husband. It was practical that what happened. The wife used to let the ribboned animal, right, walk around with the fancy ribbon on the head because she liked seeing her animal with a ribbon. It wasn't her animal, it was her husband's animal. That's why it was usher. It's just that Lemaisa, the person who used to let the animal out of the stable or whatever, out of the pen and walk around on Shabbos and go for a walk, was the wife, was the woman of the house. And that's what he was talking about. But really, it was a man's animal, not a woman's animal. And maybe a woman who was divorced or never married, it would be mutter. So that's his defense of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So this was the nafkamina that we needed to build up to, right? Was, again, as we just to summarize what we'd see, mechamer is where you do a malacha with the animal. That clearly everybody's asur in. It's either, according to Rami Barchama, a malacha itself, full skila, or at least a lav, according to everybody else. But there's the secondary isser of allowing your animal to do malacha. There, it's not a real malacha. It might only be an asay and not a lav. It might only be by your animal and not by other people's animals. It might only be by Jewish animals and not by non-Jewish animals. Right? It might only be by real malachas and not by hotzah, whatever it is. But what about women? Because if you pass me like the Ramban, who says that by Shvi'is Behema it's only an asay, so isn't a mitzvah zazay shezman grama? So again, the simple pshat is, no, it's not mitzvah zazay shezman grama, either because you hold like the Rambam, that Mechamer and Shvi'is Behema are the same thing, therefore they're both lavim. Or you hold like the Ran, that Zachor v'shamor doesn't just tell you that women are obligated in Kiddush, it tells you that all mitzvahs of Shabbos, women are obligated, positive or negative. But in order to defend Rabbi Akiva Eiger's position, that women are liable, so you need to do two things. Are obligated, so you need two things. One is, you need to assume like the Ramban against the Ran. Sorry, like the Ramban and against the Ran, meaning that allowing your animal to do malacha is only an asay and not a los asay, point one. And two, you have to reject the Gzeira Shaveh of Zachor Shamar. So that's the logical defense of the Rabbi Akiva Eiger. How would you textually defend Rabbi Akiva Eiger if our Gemara says explicitly that women are obligated, because that was the whole context of our Gemara, is that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was criticized for allowing his female neighbor to allow her animal to run free with a ribbon on its head. So possibility one from the Yerushalmi is that it was his wife's animal, and their machlokas was kinyan haperos or kinyan haguftami. Is the fact that it's his wife's animal, which he has the rights to use, does that mean he owns it or not? That's possibility one. That's only for the Yerushalmi. In the Bavli, Rabbi Felder defends it and says, maybe the defense is that it really was the woman's husband's animal. It's just that she practically was the one who let it out of the pen, and therefore it was as if it was hers, but really it belonged to the husband. But in the Hanami, if a woman owned her own animal and wasn't married, it would be permitted. I think I was listening to Ray Rosner's here, and he just said that there were some Achronim who said, maybe in a Hanami, maybe really it's permitted for a woman to she's not obligated in Shvi'is Behema. Why was it wrong for Elazar ben Azariah? Just because of Mar Zion. Like, it just looks wrong. Okay, I don't know. But this... I don't remember who he even quoted. What? Could be, right? One of the Achronim suggests that. But even though this is sort of like a very, type of nafkamina, this is the place in Shas where everyone discusses it because of this bizarre ukimta the Gemara comes up with, that when it says his animal, it means his female neighbor's animal, and therefore this is the evidence we have in Shas of whether or not Rabbi Akiva Eiger is right, that women are liable in Shvi'is Behema. Okay.
With all these interpretations, it changes the whole context of the Mishnah, that Rabbi Yehuda may agree that any load is a load. In In other words, if the argument is whether it's a male or female, then going back to the original thing of the things that he said, I'm sorry, that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. The rabbis, and they may both agree that a ribbon is a...
Correct. If you read this, then you can read it differently than Rashi. Rashi assumes that the machlok is Elazar and the Chachamim. Why did the Chachamim permit? Was because they thought it was a tachshit. And sorry, why did Elazar ben Azariah permit? Because he thought it was a tachshit, and therefore it was clothing and not carrying, and therefore there was no malacha going on at all. If you hold like this, as Alan pointed out before, you could say it differently. Maybe the machlokas is Rabbi Akiva Eger versus the Ran. Are women obligated in mitzvah seishas magrama? Or as Rabbi Felzer said, maybe it's it was his wife's animal, and their machlokas was kinyan haperos kinyan haguftami. Exactly. And this whole explanation provides another possibility of what it was that they were arguing about to begin with.
So nobody holds a ribbon as a tachshit based on that.
La'alacha, no. Right. I mean, la'alacha, no. Then no one would hold that. Is, right. Now, la'alacha, we don't pass in that way anyways, but yes, you're right. Okay. Verse 28. So we're not going to do the last thing. The truth is that this is a mini-unit. So what we'll do next time is at least these two mini-units. One is this, just to sort of get it at what we're going to do, is the question of another nafkamina that emerges from our sugya is Mechamer only on Shabbos? We needed this background because the two main questions that come out of our sugya are women, and then the question of whether Mechamer is Asar on Yom Tov as well as Shabbos. I mean, what is our Mishnah talking about? That's also part of the discussion. Rashi clearly limits it to Shabbos because case one, he says, is only Shabbos, and then case two is Yom Tov already, right? So he's clearly going out of his way to Paskin Mechamer is only on Shabbos, and that's going to become important because the Rama Paskins that way. So with all the background that we've just set up of what Mechamer is, we'll be able to understand that machlokas of whether Mechamer applies in Shabbos or Yom Tov. We'll do the small unit of what is going on with this 13,000 animal miser. Realism and Azariah lived seemingly Bisman Chorban Abayit. Why is he bringing my...
Right? Yeah,
okay. Yeah, I mean, this is Tosos. We're going to deal with Tosos' question with just a few other answers. Like, that'll take us maybe 10 minutes. Tosos has a few answers. The Meiri has another answer. Look at that. And then I guess we will... so maybe then we'll start the next big issue, which takes us all the way to the Mishnah, which is this issue of the combing and all the different permutations of the combing, which we're going to do just the basics because it's a combination of the sugyas of Malacha Shin Shrich Lagufa and Chavura on Shabbos, which are both huge sugyas, but we're not going to get bogged down in it because this is not the main... Unlike the weird Shailaf Mechamer, where this is the main sugya in Shas for it, this is not the main sugya in Shas by any stretch of the imagination for Malacha Shin Shrich Lagufa or Chavura B'Shabbos, and therefore if we spend all the time on it, we'll never get anywhere. And as much as we don't move fast, if I get involved in every sugya I want to here, we'll really never move. So I'm trying to control myself here as much as I can. Okay.